Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution creators of Attract, a suite of powerful marketing tools and assets that enable you to spend less time on marketing and more time on growing your business. Attract will give you the technology and the content you need to find your ideal prospect and turn them into your best customer. Visit agencyrevolution.com to receive a free demo of this software today. I'm thrilled to introduce you to this guest, Peter Van Aartrijk, a name that you very likely know, and if you don't, you've probably read something by him or you have been influenced by some of his thinking. He's a long-term advocate of the independent insurance industry. He's the founder of Chromium, a San Francisco-based brand strategy firm with a specialty in financial services. He started his career as a journalist, where he learned how to question the status quo. He's worked with insurance carriers, agents, brokers, and related organizations. And this is his quote, so you'll get a sense of what he stands for. He believes the industry is ready for disruption, and he wants to help those who seek to innovate and create a new employee and customer experience. Prior to forming Chromium and the insurance marketing firm Aartrijk, he served as the vice president of communications for the Big Eye National. He developed the research-based groundwork for Trusted Choice. He has formerly held editorial positions with Best Review, National Underwriter. He served as director of media relations for the Insurance Information Institute. He's written marketing-related pieces for the Independent Agent magazine for 25 years. And he hosts a long-running podcast called On Point for the Insurance Journal. As a spokesperson for the industry, he's appeared on CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Network TV. And he's been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, USA Today, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and other national media. He is on the faculty of the Big Eyes Virtual University and the National Alliance for Insurance Education and Research, where he holds the CIC. I could go on and on, but I think the best thing right now is for me to introduce you to my longtime friend and one of the good guys in the industry, somebody who really does care about the future of the independent insurance agent, Peter Van Aartrijk. Peter Van Aartrijk, thanks so much for joining us. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Michael. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Glad to have you here. So background for our listeners who may not know you, and I think most people in the independent insurance agency industry probably do, but I noticed that you have a book that you are now releasing. And when I saw that, and I didn't know that until I got your email. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, look, we gotta track down Peter and find out what it is that you have to share. So thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Writing a book is somewhat like having a baby, but that would be really unfair to the moms out there.
It did take
9 months to complete, and it's sort of like a amalgamation of all these things I've been thinking about in the insurance industry over the last 30-plus years I've been working in it, most of it in the independent agent channel. And I got my start at AM Best Company, then went to the Insurance Information Institute, and then to National Underwriter, and then to the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, the Big I. And since then, the last almost 20 years, I've been working as a consultant. My passion is helping independent agents. So you and I have similar careers, slightly different sort of
yeah.
parallel universes. But I really, you know, my father-in-law was an independent agent. And the whole ecosystem of the independent agent, the carriers, the technology firms, the user groups, all these trade associations, I just find it fascinating in the sense of just the economics of it and the sheer size of it, but also the human side, which I really enjoy. I just love the people, and I think they do a lot of good things for the consumer.
That's why we fight for them. So, when I think of you, Peter, there are two skill sets that are related, but a little bit different, that I think you're top of the field. Number one, in this industry, I think you know as much about publicity, communication through, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cough, through trade magazines and kind of the industry media. You know as much about that as anybody. And when I am thinking or working with a client, for example, that needs rebranding, in this industry, you're the guy I think of as the branding guy. So am I right on both of those? Would you say those are the things that define your, like, the best of your skill set?
You're close, very close, Michael. I think my passion is journalism. I started as a writer, actually, with a newspaper before I joined AM Best. And I really like the written word and putting together a sentence and that sort of thing. And that led into, yes, publicity, public relations with the Insurance Information Institute, you know, trying to improve the consumer's awareness, understanding, and appreciation of insurance in general. And then when I got to the Big Eye, it was all about, you know, focus on the independent agent as an option. So it's publicity, PR, mostly now inside the insurance industry, trying to reach those opinion leaders, such as editors and reporters at the many trade magazines out there that agents read and others read.
Right on.
And then the second piece, as I got longer in the tooth, was really focusing more on the strategy side, which is, it's easier to scream and yell. And this all started during the dot-com days, and now you see with some insurtechs, it's easy to scream and tell and scream and yell about what a great product you have or service. Only if it really is good. And So what I found myself doing was talking myself out of work to help people, because I asked all those dumb questions like, does this thing actually work?
Yeah.
And so you find people get irritated with you. It's like, wait a minute, we have all these features and benefits. I know, but there's no story here. There's no there. There's no differentiation there. So you start getting into more of a strategy conversation, which is, what are you trying to do? Who are you trying to impact? What is your why? Why should people care about you? And that led, yes, to the brand story. And in this new book, which is called The Powers, we talk about brand not just for the consumer or the customer, but the internal brand, which is the workforce brand, the employment brand, what the culture is like.
Ah. Okay, so let's zero in on this, all right? So you had mentioned, I'll give a little bit of background on where I'm going with this. You had mentioned a few minutes ago, we kind of have parallel careers, all right?
Right.
Been in the industry for, you know, 2-3 decades. And to some extent, I suppose people look at you and I both as marketing people. Though we entered into this industry from very, very, excuse me, different perspectives. So that you mostly through traditional communication, magazines, right, journalism and branding, and me as a direct response guy. And my early, if we go back 25 plus years ago, my trainers, my mentors, my marketing teachers were direct response people, and there was always interesting conversation, interesting critique from the direct response guys about branding. In other words, they kind of looked down their nose at branding, and there were, pejorative comments about, you know, your new logo is not going to sell your next policy, right? So we always, in the direct response world, we always measured our success sort of event by event. So in other words, if it was a sales letter back in the day or a fax broadcast or whatever, it was like, hey, you know, how many went out and how much did you get back? You know, what was your ROI on that event? What's your ROI on an email campaign? And so that they're really very measurable. Over the years, I discovered that while direct response certainly has its measurability and its power, brand works really deeply in people's psychology. So I'm going to ask you, before we dig into this, when you talk about brand, what's your definition of it? And what does that mean to an independent insurance agent?
Well, it's you're correct that the brand is I think it's the most important asset you own when it's managed well. It's not something that's necessarily tangible. I think of it almost like a big spider web where your whole organization is this giant spider web, and no matter what happens on what side of it, like the phone rings and the reception answers, something happens to impact your brand in a positive or negative way. It's a set of experiences that your customers and prospects and other stakeholders have with you. When done well, there's a passion around it. It's not just pretty colors on a website or pretty colors on a logo. It's very well thought out, strategic, and it has various components that tie not just the external expression of the brand in the marketplace, but the internal culture. Because the best brands, if you notice, there's no disconnect between how employees act and how the customers are treated. I look at it like it's like those Discover Card commercials, Michael, where the person answering is the twin of the person calling.
Right.
We treat you like you treat you. It's that kind of thing, and I equate it to an affinity symbol where if you drew that in the air, you'd see that it's a continuum. On one side is brand, the other side is culture. In the middle, where the X meets, if you will, is core values. And these are a set of core values, a set of how people should behave in the organization. That's where the X marks the spot. And the best brands describe their core values, write them down, and live by them, and share them externally. So the brand is there. It's not something tangible, and that's where you run into issues with agents thinking, oh, I'm just going to update the website, or oh, we're going to have my wife's a designer, she's going to do our logo.
Yeah, okay.
And it can't be a tactical exercise. It has to be rooted in very solid thought, and that's why we wrote the book called The Powers, because the book is the subtitle is 10 Factors for Building an Exponentially More Powerful Brand. It's kind of a whimsical look at 10 through 1, if you will. So we count down. And what the various numbers mean as a way to explain brand in more detail so that an independent agent or anybody can understand it better.
So it sounds like in your model, the brand is a thorough internal strategic exercise before it becomes an external expression. So, in other words, a lot of people think, they look at their agency brand, right? However they see it. And they say, oh, my God, we haven't changed our logo, since 1917, which happens to be our tagline, been in business since 1917. Okay. And so they want to be smart about it. And so they figure, all right, we need, let's figure out what our logo is. Let's figure out what our colors are. Let's figure out what the font is or the fonts are that we are going to use to communicate to the world. And maybe let's have a tagline, maybe it's time to say something besides been a business since 1917. So those are four tangible things that you can see and kind of touch and feel. It sounds like you would not encourage an agent simply to say, let's hire a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're so right, Michael. The problem is that you can't. There's no shortcut to doing this well. I mean, you can hire a commercial designer and say, hey, I kind of like the color red, and I like swooshes, and we're going to be like 16,000 other independent agencies have a swoosh on our name, and we're going to have initials instead of Smith and Jones, going to be SJ with a swoosh around it. It's going to be red. I mean, you can look like anybody else, and that's the problem. The best brands stand out by standing for something. There's differentiation, and it takes discussion. And you said it. It's got to start on the inside, and that's what we call the power of four, which is branding begins within your own four walls. you've got it. You can't rely on consultants and designers to help you come up with all the answers. It's got to be your own key stakeholders, which we believe are the owners of the firm,
right?
Perhaps a collection of key employees, maybe even some really good customers or board of directors, if you have it, have that. And you there's got to be some structure of the conversation. But where you want to go in the future? What are the attributes you want to lose as a firm? What do you want to keep at all costs? And where do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be more innovative? If you want to challenge the status quo and be more innovative, then you've got to talk about it and start to tell people in the agency what that really looks like. It's okay to raise your hand and say this workflow sucks. We shouldn't be doing it anymore without any repercussions.
So let me tell a Peter Van Aartrijk story, which, by the way, you probably don't even know, all right?
Okay.
And I'm telling the story because I do want people to kind of get a sense of, you know, what internal process that they may use, okay? So you and I had a conversation sometime, maybe it was a year ago, and one of the things that you pointed out to me, and I think you said you have a PowerPoint slide about this, is that, in fact, yes, the world is changing, the insurance industry is changing, and you had made an observation that if you took a bunch of the traditional insurance carrier logos and put them like all together, There's some common elements, like lots of blue, right?
Yep.
But lots of blue, a color that psychologists or color psychologists say, you know, this represents trust and stability. And then, as I recall, you said you had a slide with a lot of InsurTech logos. Mm-hmm. So these are the emerging companies. And you said it's a rainbow. And they're pastels, and they're bright, and they look different. That happened to be around the time when I was designing the color scheme that goes with Michael Jane's advisory. And originally, I was going blue. And then after that conversation, sometime within the next few weeks, I said, nah. And so now it's this kind of bright spring green. Okay, so the world is changing around us, and insurance is changing. So first of all, I'm going to ask you to comment on that observation you made. What do you think is going on that so many of the disruptors or the innovators are looking and attempting to feel different than the traditional industry? What does that represent?
I love this storyline, Michael. It's in the book in a sidebar or somewhere in some chapter about insurance blue, as I call it. And it was an accident because we were doing a project for a large Midwest regional insurance carrier, super regional, and we were looking for points of differentiation. And we couldn't find any, especially the blue.
Yeah.
And we talk about how color, and we just got done saying this, color and logo and things are tangible. This is the fun stuff of branding. If you've got your story straight, then the colors will naturally flow from that conversation, from the words that are underpinning your brand. So it's no surprise to me that so many insurance carriers followed each other with blue, but also with words like state and farm, farmers, Allstate,
right.
Safe Farm, Safe Auto. It's mutual. It's these words that all just pour out. And they all sound the same, and they all look the same, and we put them all on a keynote slide. And you're exactly right. We ran out of space for what I call insurance blue, which is the same color blue, not just blue, the same PMS color blue, as they say in the printing world.
Uh-huh.
So now, fast forward to the innovator days, the InsurTechs. No surprise that the colors that are emerging are a lot different. They're a lot younger. Baby boomers find the insurance blue a safe thing, and a lot of those insurance entities are run by baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
The younger ones are coming up and saying, you know, we're going to have a fresh new look that's about the customer experience, not about insurance blue. So if you have a name like Trove or Goji or Cova or Zebra or Hippo or Lemonade, you're not going to have insurance blue.
Right.
you're going to have yellows and greens and pastels, as you said.
Uh-huh.
And so what's going on is a fresher, hipper, cooler, younger look to these insurtechs because they're appealing to the millennial population, Michael, which as of next year, 2019, they will be larger than baby boomers and huge in terms of economic impact. And I'm sorry, but Insurance Blue is not going to cut it anymore.
Okay. So, and to keep it in perspective, nobody can just change the color to transform their business.
Right. But in the power of 10, which is the first chapter, as we count down 10 to 1, we talk about every 10 years, brands will go through either a brand overhaul completely or even just a slight tweak.
You see big companies
like Pepsi doing it. So every 10 years, every decade, if your brand, if your logo, if your whole place is starting to feel like a rummage sale, it's time to go through a brand refresh. That's in the power of 10.
Yeah, when you get a chance, Google Betty Crocker, and you'll see how she's changed over the years. So in any case.
Yeah. It doesn't always have to be an expensive overhaul. It could just be a slight tweak. And color is something you need to take very seriously. You don't want to just keep jumping all over the place, as I see agencies do as well.
Yeah.
But if the color should fall out of a brand strategy.
Okay. I want you to comment on something a client of mine said. And hopefully he'll listen to this podcast. He said that, I can't remember why he needed to change the name, but he needed to change the name of his agency. This is a big agency. This is a fast growth agency. Year over year growth for many years in the mid 30s. So it's a nice fast growth agency. I've worked with them for 10 years. No, more than that, probably closer to 15. And he had to change it. Again, don't remember why, but he said, here's a few things I'm thinking of, but it really probably doesn't matter that much because nobody buys it for the name. Boom. What's Peter Van Artrijk's response to that?
I think names and logos and these kinds of brand communicators are empty vessels into which you pour meaning. Like, what does, over time, you pour meaning? Like, what did Nike mean when we first heard it? You know, when they told us over time what it meant. What did Amazon mean? What does Starbucks mean? It turns out they mean a lot, but it took a while. They've been around decades to make it happen. What does AIG mean? I really don't like initials and acronyms.
Yeah.
As a general rule, but if you've got billions of dollars, which is what Mr. Greenberg and everyone had, you can tell people what AIG means.
Right, or IBM.
The problem with insurance agencies in general is that they need to rethink what they're called. I think agency sells them short. I even think the word insurance may sell them short. And their names, if it's eponymously named, can be a real problem because, again, I want to talk to Mr. Jones. I want to talk to him.
Yeah, that was three generations ago.
So, again, this brand overhaul can sometimes include step outside the box and let's look at the name as an employee. Is this employee pulling his or her weight for the firm? Is it too small? Is it too much in a box? I mean, we're doing more commercial risk management. Does insurance agency really say that what we do for people from their perspective, not from ours?
Right.
The other problem is, you see this all the time, Michael, as sort of taglines and things like that, where words like producer, from the customer's perspective, they're saying, like, why am I being produced? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
We have all this jargon, and we need to change it. We need to spend time on the customer experience, and that is described in the Power of Five in the book, which is make your brand a human brand. And the human side of this industry, Michael, you and I know really well, is what gives us the power. It's all about the people. We always say it's all about relationships and referrals, et cetera. But why is it that in our branding and our websites, for example, we don't show our people, we don't show our employees, we don't show our customers, we don't have testimonials, we don't have video. It's like we have stock art and we have buildings and we have just strangers. We should be showing our people. the best brands are human brands. They put a lot of thought into what our personality is going to be, and it comes out in that in all the branding that they do.
So, to circle back to the question I asked a moment ago, the words matter, right? I mean, as a copywriter, I know they matter, but the name of your company, it really does matter, because it is kind of that. It's the vessel that you fill with meaning. It's the packaging that somebody unwraps to get inside, right? And so, yeah. I'm gonna guess that we have listeners who are driving down the road right now, thinking, "Yeah, my goodness, we haven't really done anything with our logo, our name, or that sense of who we are, that brand, for decades."
Decades.
What do you say to them? What do you want to say to them?
Well, what I would say is, you cannot look at this as like a project or an expense or as a tactic. I think if it's been this much time since if you've done this last year and you feel like you're in the right place, it's not for you. But
right. If
your brand looks like something from the 1970s, you've really got to pay attention and look at this as a strategy, as an investment for the future, and not as a project. It's an ongoing effort. But I would say I like to spread everything out on the table, business cards, look at the website, look at your marketing materials, just look at what people are saying about you. You'll see that it probably doesn't look the same. It doesn't look professional. But you've got to take the time to write down some things. And we have a process that we describe in The Power of One, which is all about looking at the different elements like mission, vision. Mission is what you do. Vision is why you're doing what you're doing.
Yep.
Values is how you should behave. And there's other components that help you build a really solid differentiation from the competition. But I think that the very few percentage of agencies that go through this process and take the time and talk with each other and say, why are we different? Why should people care about us? Why should they renew with us? They'll have the messaging they need, and then they can start to worry about how they look from a communication standpoint. But so often, agencies go through this process where they might want to be expanding into a new county or new state or a new product line.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They might be buying or merging. This is happening big time in the system right now, where they're buying or merging with other agencies. And when they feel compelled to add the new agent's name to their name, so it becomes this long list of names just to satisfy egos, I think that's a real problem, because they're thinking small. They're thinking from their perspective. And that is why, in this process, you've got to talk to customers. Even your best customers will give you some real good advice you can use to position the firm in a way that they find appealing, not insurance people find appealing.
Right. Okay. So what do you find happens internally with the team, with the staff, when an insurance agency goes through this rebranding process as you've described it?
It's galvanizing. I think the worst thing you can do, my favorite Dilbert cartoon is a suggestion box and there's a shredder under it. Worst thing you can do is ask for people's opinion, not act on it. So if you, the CEO or principal, are ready for the truth, and you have a process to gather the unfettered, candid truth, you will learn some things that you're doing well and some things you're doing really poorly. You'll learn about your culture and whether it is as good as you think it is, because maybe your ego is getting in the way. When people have an environment where they can express themselves, they don't really care as much about pay as principals think. I mean, it's important. Time off's important too.
Right.
But they want to come to a place, not because they have to, because they want to come to work. So how can you create an environment where it's a really strong employment brand? We can talk a whole separate podcast about the brain drain that's going on with baby boomers retiring.
Uh-huh.
And then so many agency owners not perpetuating their firms and so on. But how do you create a strong employment brand? You create it by having happy people and have people, if they give their opinion. The other thing too, Michael, this is a problem too with some, with many firms, not just small ones. They have older, this is going to sound bad, but I'm going to say it like it is, I think, is older employees have been there a long time. They have all the answers. They don't want to change. And change is the number one hardest thing for small business to go through. And I think if you prune the rose bush and do it in a as diplomatic a way as you can and get rid of the brand cynics, as we call them in the book, you'll find the whole rose bush does better. And that's very hard, but it's a problem. Like, why do we put CSRs that have quote unquote people issues at the front desk? Why do we demote them when now they're the director of first impressions at the front desk and they have a people issue? It doesn't make any sense to me. Right. I think it's just got to find a place for them where they're going to be happier than your firm. So that's hard, but I think that's another key way to build a strong culture.
Do you think that because of the pace of change right now, pace of change is fast, insure techs, billions of dollars are being invested in some disruptive, some innovative, but certainly in change, technologies to cause change. And then, as you said, we're a few months away from millennials being the largest generation in our marketplace. All of these forces that are they're changing the world that insurance operates in. Do you think that is making now a critical time for agencies to do this kind of introspection and to act on it?
Oh, I couldn't. You're so right. I don't think we have time to coast anymore. I think the window is closing on the firms that don't want to make any changes. And listen, I just gave a speech to the Big Eye of Rhode Island, and they asked me to be candid about what the impact of InsurTech on the business, and I laid it out for them, and okay. I said, listen, if your intent is to coast for 10 years, you got it made. I mean, you don't have to do anything for 10 years. If you want to have a firm that is perpetuated where you get more value out of it, where you can sell it, et cetera, there's some work to be done, and it has to be done at a quicker pace than before. It doesn't mean you have to be overnight a digital marketing expert.
Right.
Although clearly that's an area where you've got to get sharper.
But you better move in that direction.
Move in that direction because people are mobile first, they're digital first, and online first. They're not, the way you used to. So the customer has changed dramatically. But I think the independent agent and broker channel has tremendous assets. They have a big customer base. They have a lot of people who used to be customers that could be customers again. Mm-hmm. So that's data mining, going back to those ex-customers. They have terrific carrier relationships. They understand how to market, a piece of business to a company and to have it get written. All those, they have a staff that's professional. All these things, InsurTechs just come in, take for granted that they can disrupt all of it. It won't happen that fast, but it's going to happen faster if you don't react. So I think the second piece of this is not just bringing in new sales talent, but new talent, period, because there's this big gap missing, I think, between a lot of agency staff, sales and service and ownership who are in their 50s and 60s.
Right.
And then you get down to the, maybe you have some in the 20s, but there's a huge gap. We've got to bring in younger people, and that gets back to what is the reason I should work at this agency? Like, what is the culture like? Am I going to like working here? Are you going to tell me when to come in, when to leave? Do I have to wear a certain kind of clothes? Like, what is it going to be like working here? And you've got to tell that employment brand story. It all starts, I'm telling you, Michael, a lot of these issues take care of themselves when you have a good story about where you want to go as a firm and the better world you want to create for your employees and for your customers.
Talk about that for just a moment, the story. How do you create a story?
Well, I think there are... the story comes from writing things down, just like the story about the Bill of Rights and our Constitution came from what those guys wrote down, and they signed off on it. They basically signed off on dying because the King of England wasn't really happy with this revolution.
Right. Yeah.
But when they signed off, they argued about the words in the Constitution, and they finally agreed, and then they signed it. And that's what needs to happen, is what is going to be, who is really our target audience? This is a big problem because, Michael, I don't think being a quote-unquote generalist is going to work in the future.
Right.
I think commercial and personal lines customers want someone who knows them well, even though it may not necessarily be all true, but make it so that they feel special, that they feel that you understand family risk management, for example. So it's targeting that customer and the things that they care about is really important. Positioning, which is power three, which is you versus the competition. Your story becomes more clear when you can look at not looking like the competition, which a lot of agencies tend to do. Mm-hmm. They want to repeat a good firm across town, repeat some of the same words. It doesn't really work. Another way to get at it is to write down your what we call the brand narrative, which is where'd you come from? Like, what is your story? When were you created, and where are you going today? It's if you look at the back of a bag of Lay's Ruffles potato chips, it talks about how chips used to be boring because they were flat, and then we came up with Ruffles, which have ridges that hold the dip better, and backyard barbecues were never the same. It's like a story of that builds trust around your firm. And it doesn't mean it becomes your tagline, like, oh, on Main Street since 1917, as you said.
Uh-huh.
That's just part of the narrative, but it's not your lead, because a lot of times people don't want a firm that's been on Main Street since 1917. They want somebody that looks like lemonade, you know, something that's a little bit cooler looking. So you've got to have a good, strong narrative, but what does it mean for the future? I think, too, the idea that you have some evidence that your brand is stronger, better, best, first, only. If you don't have anything that really sets you apart from the competition, you've got to give some thought to what that could be or what it is. You're just missing it. Are you the very best agency in your county in employment practices liability coverage, or are you the very best at providing holistic risk management solutions? The very best at serving small contractors, and here's why we do X, Y, and Z. There's got to be some brand evidence where, in the court of law, you could say to the judge, "Yep, here's how we're better, first, only." And then the three most important components of this written strategy are your, as I mentioned, your core values, which is how your employees behave. Your mission, which is what you do, which is very hard for people. And your mission is not to double sales by 2020. That's a business plan. People are not going to give you money because you want to double sales by 2020. This doesn't work. But it's what you do to help people. And then your vision, your brand vision, is the most important part, is why you do what you do. Why do people come to work? Why do customers want to renew with you? What is the better world you're creating? What is the better state of affairs you're creating for your customers if you're successful at your mission, which is what you do? And all this is outlined in the book, and it's not really an academic exercise at all. It's really just an introspective exploration of why these independent agents we love so much are so good. Why are they so good? They're wonderful, but they just don't know how to tell the story.
So, to kind of sum up some of your key points here, Peter, I think to some extent you're saying you can't put lipstick on a pig. So, in other words,
right.
So if in fact the agency hasn't had those soul-searching, introspective, difficult conversations, maybe debates and arguments and all that, that important thrashing around, then clearly changing the color and maybe, you know, going with a green pastel and a nifty new name or what have you, that doesn't fix the core problem, right?
Precisely, yeah.
Okay.
It's words. Words have consequences.
Yeah. And ideas, right? The core ideas that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. How are we different? Why do we matter? Mm-hmm. Important questions.
Exactly.
Okay. And you know, I suppose on one hand, I'm slightly sympathetic. On the other hand, who cares? I'm sympathetic mm-hmm. that that the average insurance agency principal has a busy day, right? And so, on Tuesday, you know, the most important thing that they have to do is get through Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, and then Wednesday the same thing. And so sometimes stepping back, it's sort of taking that short reverse, going, you know, like, let's not produce, let's think, right? That's a challenge, right? But thinking before you produce is really, really important. And it's not necessarily built into the cadence of the agency, right? It's like, you know, that's like not on the Tuesday staff meeting agenda is let's really take a deep dive. And so I don't know how often you recommend agencies should do it. I think you said maybe once every 10 years if they do it right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that's the majority of this industry now in an environment that is exacerbating the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. Listen, you are hitting the nail on the head, because a lot of people listening right now are saying, it all sounds good, man. I just don't have time for this.
Oh, but now, right now, because things are changing so fast, I don't have time to deal with it. Okay, so.
I know, but I would argue that it's being on that hamster wheel. The wheel's only going to turn faster if you don't hop off it and slow it down somehow and really focus on things that are important. Maybe not urgent. Maybe not staring you in the face, but they're incredibly important. And if you can solve this issue of who we want to be when we grow up and how can we create a better state of affairs for our customers and our employees, like what do we need to do? And just take a half day or a full day with your staff, maybe off-site, and just invest in that and talk it over. You've got to do this. And I would say refresh it once a year. Just challenge what you have written down. Mm-hmm. If you've written down new core values, like I said earlier, challenge the status quo. You could talk about that for a staff meeting. You don't have to leave the office. Just have a staff meeting over lunch and say, all right, one of our core values we said was challenge the status quo. How is that working around here? And you keep it top of mind. I think people in the office will see the importance of that work you've done in the offsite session. And it's not, again, like the Mad Men days, Michael, where, you know, you would hire Madison Avenue Firm to go off and create a new slogan for your company.
Right.
Like Lucky Strikes, you know, they're toasted or something. This is about starting from within, but having a facilitated conversation where you can think and brainstorm and write things down and talk about them, agree on them, and say, you know what, we're not going to try to be all things to all people anymore. We're going to lose some things we're not good at. We're going to focus even more on truckers. And we're just gonna rock for the next 10 years. Here's where we're going. Who's on board?
Yeah,
you know, join the movement. It's happening. Who wants to work at this agency? Who can refer people to work at this agency? This is where we're going. That's all people want. They want to know that there's some future you're painting for them.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
So, you've covered a lot of ground here, and I appreciate that. And I suspect you would agree that if an agency waited until branding was urgent, they would never do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They have to be willing to live in that Stephen Covey's quadrant to not urgent but important area,
exactly.
You know, part of the world.
Yeah.
So,
Do it from a position of strength. Don't wait till you're weak or in a crisis mode to do this. Process.
Do it from strength. All right. So, Peter, if our listeners want to find out more about the book or reach out to you, what do you want them to do?
Well, there's different ways. It's thepowersbook.com, hashtag thepowers. You can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter at PVArtrike. My email is a tough one, I know, but I'll just spell it out. It's P as in Peter, V as in Victor, AARTRIJK at chromium.group. Chromium.group.
Got it.
And all those handles work. And the book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's an e-book, a hard copy, soft cover book, whatever you want. And I just want to close by saying thank you, Michael, but also I hope people realize as much as I do, if you can't tell, that this is really fun. It's fun to have conversations about the stuff that's happening in the hallways of your office right now and just bring it all together and say, you know what, let's stop talking in the hallway. Let's bring this out into the open, have some transparency, have some fun with this, and create a better world for people.
Hear, hear. And one last thing to our listeners, if you missed Peter's contact information because the spelling of his name is impossible, I hate to do this, but I'll help you. So you can email me and say, I want to get in touch with Peter. You can email me at michael@agencyrevolution.com. I would prefer you reach out to Peter directly, but I'll help you if I have to. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Peter, as always, been a joy. I will see you shortly in Las Vegas at the InsurTech Connect Conference. I'm looking forward to that. And again, thanks so much for sharing your expertise and your wisdom.
Glad to do it. Thank you, Michael.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.